So this morning we launch into our new series that we're calling One, where we're going to discover that we are called to one gospel, to one church, to one spirit, and to one mission, and it's all in Christ Jesus. The study is going to be a journey again through the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and this book is so rich, it's so deep, just as the whole Bible is. But this particular book is really neat because he's writing to this church that needs to kind of be shaken and waken up. And so Paul is going through a myriad of different topics, deep theological discussions, and a whole lot of practical talk too. So I'm looking forward to what God has for us here at Evident Life Church. The title of today's message is, Who Are You? Okay, thought I'd put a little bumper music in there. That song just was jumping around in my head. Not the whole song, just that part of the song. I don't even know the words to the rest of the song. I don't encourage you to go listen to the rest of the song. But the bottom line is that's just, it was a good little bumper music to help us get into that very important question of who are you? Who are you? It's important that we know who we are. It is vital that we understand our identity. So we're going to be talking about identity this morning. I found it interesting. Last night, my two oldest kids, Jake and Grant, went to Life Night, which is a youth gathering that's every other Saturday, the second and fourth Saturday of every month. And it's held over at the Caldwell's house. And it's just a great time for the young people of our church. I think it's ages 14 to 20 is what they've figured out, just to get together. They are the ones leading it. They're the ones bringing up the topics. They're the ones going into God's Word, and I understand that it is incredible. In fact, we had a family friend who went with my sons to the first one a couple weeks ago, and this guy grew up in the church. He's been to so many youth things. He walked out of there, and he told my boys, he said, that is the best, most incredible youth Bible study I've ever been to in my life. So there's a plug for it. So young people who are doing this, great job. Well, the topic that I found out that they were going to talk about was identity. I'm like, come on, get out of here. God, you do have something going on here. Thank you, Lord, that we can listen to your voice and that we can hear what you have to say. So we're going to be talking about identity this morning because who we believe we are and what we believe about ourselves will determine how we live our lives. Who we believe we are is going to affect our beliefs. Our theological beliefs, it's going to affect our relationships. Who we believe we are will affect how we interact with God. Our identity, what we believe of our identity, will affect how we pray. It will determine our actions. It will impact every single area of your life, your belief of who you really are. So who are we? With this reality in mind, the importance of identity, it's no accident that the Apostle Paul begins his letter to the church in Corinth reminding them of their identity. See, the church started off, man, they were on fire, baptized in the Holy Spirit, full of truth, excited about their new relationship with Jesus Christ, and they were going after it. They were going after it, but something obviously happened. The wheels began to fall off a little bit. Things got a little twisty, a little shaky. Corinth was a very worldly city. Again, Paul is writing, it's not just called the book of 1 Corinthians just because that's what people decided to call it. He's writing to the church, to the body of Christ in a city called Corinth. And Corinth was an extremely worldly city. If you think about Las Vegas, how many of you have been to Las Vegas recently? Have been there recently? Okay. I went there, I don't know, 8 to 10 years ago with my wife. We got a really great deal on a brand new hotel that was opening. We thought, oh, this would be a great getaway for us. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, the hotel was beautiful. I even had a massage there. It was free. They were opening up their whole massage-like thing, and they were giving out free massages to guests, and it was that was really weird. But anyway, so we're in Vegas, and I got to tell you what, it was hard to be there. It was very difficult because everywhere you walk, there the world is shoving itself right in your face. I mean, literally, pamphlets and things, just horrible, worldly, sinful things shoving it in your face. Go to this place. Look at this thing. Come on, indulge in this. Da-da. That's what was going on in Corinth. You think Vegas is bad? From what we understand of history, Corinth was even worse. And so you had a church that is in Corinth that starts off on fire for God, but the world keeps pushing itself at the church, keeps shoving itself, saying, come on, come on, you're a little radical, you're a little crazy, you need to kind of come along with us, you need to meet us halfway, you need to understand, you need to adopt a little bit of our identity too. Does that sound familiar? The world is trying to get every one of us to go along with them. The world is wanting us to take on their identity. But we don't have to do that. We don't have to go back to that. We can come out of agreement with the world because we have a new identity in Christ Jesus. And it is this reality, it's this understanding that the Apostle Paul wants to launch his whole letter with, is reminding the church of their identity. So let's go right to the text. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Let's see what Paul has to say about identity. You know, often when I would read this, I would just read it as, hey, this is a really nice introduction. Paul's a really nice guy. He's saying hi, and he's just saying a lot of nice things about the church. But as I studied it this week, all I could see was identity, identity, identity. So check this out. Verse 1, Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So back to our question this morning. Who are you? Do you really want to know? Well, the Apostle Paul just gave us a whole lot of insight into our identity. If you're in Christ Jesus, if he is your Lord and your Savior, if you've surrendered your life, your present, your future to him, then this is who you are. We have 5 points, 5 pieces of our identity that we're going to pull out of this passage of Scripture this morning. Who are you? The first point that the Apostle Paul makes is this, is that you have a new title. You have a new title. You are a saint. You're a saint. Verse 2, what did the Apostle Paul say? He said that called to be saints together. One church, one body. Called to be saints. That title isn't used only by Paul in this particular case. So you can't just look at it and go, well, he called you a saint. Maybe he really meant this or that. You can look throughout the New Testament and you're going to find the Word of God calling the people of God saints. Look at Acts 9, verse 13. You want to write these down quickly and check them out later. Acts 9, 13. Acts 9, 32. Philippians 4, 21. Go to Romans 16, 2. Go to Ephesians 4, 12. Go to Ephesians 5, 3. And you're going to see this title being applied to the people of God.
Who are you? You have a new title. You are a saint. But Pastor, wait! I don't feel like a saint. And if you knew about my life, you wouldn't call me a saint. Well, maybe you don't feel like a saint. Maybe you don't act like a saint because you haven't embraced your new title, your new identity. But aren't I still just a sinner? Isn't that what everyone says? Isn't that what we're supposed to say as Christians? I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a wretched sinner. Every day I wake up, I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner. I got to tell you what. If we continue to do that, we're going to continue to live out of that reality. The Word of God is calling you a saint. Not because of anything you've done, but because of who you are in Christ Jesus. You are now a saint. At one time you were a sinner. How many of you can raise your hand and say, yeah, okay, at one time I was a sinner. Yes, and even Paul says, the Apostle Paul says, and I was the worst of all sinners. At one time I was a sinner, but God rescued me. But God redeemed me. But God pulled me out of that. And now I have a new identity. I have a new title. I'm a saint. I know it offends your mind a little bit. But read the Bible. It's going to offend your mind. Jesus offended a whole lot of people when he walked on this earth. This is just that radical, unbelievable message of the gospel. Of the reality of what happens when Christ Jesus comes into a person's life. That we are transformed from sinner to saint. And it happens the moment that he justifies us. We have a new title. That's pretty cool. If we keep calling ourselves sinners, then we're going to keep living like sinners. I think that's probably one of the biggest issues that we find in the church today. Out of this form of humility or whatever you want to call it, calling ourselves sinners every day that we're alive and wondering, why aren't I changing? Why do I keep living like a sinner? If we keep calling ourselves sinners, we're going to keep living like sinners. But if we embrace our new identity and we take on our new title of saint, we will begin to live out that reality. We will live out and become who we are and who we are called. Come on, you guys have all heard the stories, the statistics and the stories. You know how it goes where they talk about how a child who grows up in a house where their parents call them a loser, say you're never going to amount to anything, you're never going to make anything out of your life. What typically happens to those children? They end up fulfilling that prophecy. They end up fulfilling that title and becoming exactly what the parents told them they were and who they believed them that they were. Not amounting to anything. Really never going to be successful. Nobody can really love me. Those are lies. Those are lies. Those are lies. But if we believe the lie, we'll end up living the lie. And then you hear about the homes where the parents are encouraging their children. And they're saying, man, you are incredible. You're a winner. The future is yours. You can do really anything that God gifted you to do. You have ability. You're going to make a great husband. You're going to make a great wife. You're going to be a great parent someday. Oh, the things that God has in store for you are incredible. And what typically happens to those children? They end up fulfilling those prophetic words and living out that reality of who their parents told them they were and therefore who they believed that they were. It's very powerful. Who we believe we are is extremely powerful and important. Therefore, it's no accident that God has given us new titles, new identities. He has new plans for our lives, new purposes. And he understands that for us to accomplish those new plans and purposes, that we need a new identity. We need to realize our new identity. And so, therefore, we have new titles. God's plans for your life are not the plans of a sinner, but they are the plans of a saint. You need to know that today. God's plans for your life, for your future, are not the plans for a sinner or of a sinner. His plans and his future that he has for you in Christ Jesus are the plans of a saint. The future of a saint. If you've been embracing a wrong identity, which I imagine many people in this room have been, even up to right now. If you've been living this mistaken identity, this false identity, allowing the enemy, allowing the world to put a wrong title on you, if you're in Christ Jesus and you've been believing that stuff, that today is the day you need to break ties with that. You need to come out of agreement with that false, mistaken identity. And today is the day when you need to come into agreement with who God calls you and who you are now in Christ Jesus. Today's the day. And believe me, when you leave that old identity behind, that old title behind, and you embrace that new one, you're going to start seeing things change. And I know this for a fact. You will begin living with a joy in your heart and in your life that you haven't had before. It is hard to be filled with joy when you wake up every day and you just living out of that false reality of I'm a sinner. It's, how do you live with joy when you wake up and you know, I'm just a sinner. Here I go another day. Oh, boy. Come on. Where's the joy in that? Where's the hope in that? That's the devil that's put that all over you. And today is the day to break away from that. And all it is knowing and embracing and receiving the reality of who you are now in Christ Jesus. You are a saint, so when you wake up in the morning, you can wake up saying, God, thank you for redeeming me. I'm a saint, it's incredible, but let's go. Let's move on, let's go forward. I'm a saint, what do you have for your saints today? I'm on board. Come on, that's the reality that God has for every one of you who are in Christ Jesus. It's an incredible way to live. It'll fill your heart with joy. It'll give you hope. And you're going to wake up excited to live every single day of your life. I could just say amen. That was good enough right there. I mean, that reality, in and of itself, point one, incredible, amazing truth. Paul reiterates this truth of these new identities in his second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Apparently, it took them a little while to really understand it. And sometimes we can all be a little hard-headed that way. So he goes back to them in 2 Corinthians 5, 17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? The old has what? Okay, does that mean that the old is still there and you still have to live in that? No. It's gone. Passed away means it's dead. What do we say when somebody dies? We say that they passed away. So, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, not if anyone just does good things and wants to think that they're a good person. That's not what the Word of God says. But if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is dead. It's passed away. Behold, the new has come. And so, you have a new title. You're a saint. That's point number one that we see from the Apostle Paul, but it keeps getting better, and he keeps going deeper, and this is good news here. Point number two, you have a new grace. Look at verse 4 again of our text in 1 Corinthians 1. You have a new grace. It says that the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. So again, Paul is opening up his letter to the church in Corinth, and he's making sure they understand who they are. So the first thing he says is, hey, you're a saint. And you have this incredible grace of God because you are in Christ Jesus. Remember that? You need to remember that. Because that's part of your identity. But sadly, many Christians remain the same after conversion, They're forever plagued with sin and addiction to the point of just accepting it. Well, you know what? I'm just always going to have that quote-unquote hang-up. That's just kind of my disposition, and I know God loves me, but this is always just going to be part of my life, and that's a lie. It shouldn't be that way, because we have, as the Apostle Paul says, we have a new grace. We have a powerful grace, and this grace changes everything. It doesn't just change everything theoretically or theologically. Sometimes we get fooled into reading the Bible and just looking at it from a theological, ethereal perspective. You know, oh yes, this just has to do with my standing with God, but that's really it, and what I theologically understand and believe, and we don't bring it down to the reality of this is real and this is who I am and this is what it means, and I get to walk this out, experience, and live it today. The Word of God is powerful and it's active. It causes change and big things to happen right now, today, for real in our lives. It's not some fantasy fairy tale about the sweet by and by when you die and you go to heaven and you float on the clouds and lolly lolly. No, that's not what this is about. This is about reality today, the here and now, and forever and ever. So you have a new grace. It's not just theoretical. It's not just theological. It is powerful and it transforms every area of our lives for the glory of God. It says in verse 5, as Paul says, you have a new grace, and then he explains a couple of the things that that new grace is doing in the lives of the believer. He says, in every way, in every single way, you were enriched in Him, in Jesus, in all speech and all knowledge. In every way, you are enriched because of what? This grace. And that grace is part of your identity. You have it. It's part of who you are now. You possess it. It is you because it was given to you in Christ Jesus. And it enriches you in every way. And in fact, it makes you think differently. Our brains have been enriched. I mean, check this out. Our brains, because of the grace of Jesus, our brains have been enriched. They've been transformed. They've been like lit up on fire. I mean, like alive where they weren't alive before because of the powerful grace of Jesus Christ. They've been enriched so much so that we can understand God now where we couldn't before. We can understand the Word of God where we couldn't understand it before. That was one of the first evidences of the gifts of the Spirit that came upon me when I received the fullness of the Holy Spirit, was an understanding of God's Word. I didn't immediately speak in tongues. I didn't immediately start prophesying. But one thing that happened to me immediately was the grace of God came upon me and the Holy Spirit came over me, and I began to understand things that I never understood before. I began to perceive things that weren't even anywhere on the radar before. I was blind before, ignorant before. And don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying I know everything. Believe me, I don't. And it's exciting that I don't, because I have more to learn. More to learn. That is thrilling. For all eternity. I know I've said this before, but you know how exciting it is that forever and ever I get to, you get to, we get to be wowed by God every single day.
Amen.
We get to be blown away by knowing more about Him every single day for the rest of eternity. That's exciting. Okay, so this new grace, it changes the way we even think. We can understand the kingdom of God now and perceive God and hear His voice and in ways that we never could before because of our identity. And part of our identity is the powerful grace of Jesus Christ. And this new grace even changes the way we speak and the way we act. And I'm going to go to one of my favorite passages of Scripture right now that defines the grace of Jesus Christ so beautifully and so clearly. And that's in Titus 2, verses 11 through 13. Titus 2, verses 11 through 13. Again, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to one of his disciples, Titus. And he says that for the grace of God, so he's talking about this same grace that he says is part of your identity if you're in Christ Jesus. Okay? So are you in Christ Jesus? If you're in Christ Jesus, you have this grace right here. So check it out. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. Some versions say justifying, bringing justification, salvation to all people. And then it goes on. And the same grace is training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. What does that mean? What Paul's saying here is the grace of God just isn't just like a free pass to forgive you and to justify you. It is that. And that's awesome. But it goes so much further than that. It actually empowers us to renounce sin, to walk away from those things that have been grabbing us and holding us and pulling us down and destroying relationships in our lives and our peace and our joy. It allows us, it empowers us to say no to those things and to walk into the future that God has for us, to live godly, self-controlled lives, upright lives in this present age. Now, look at that, too. It's not just about the sweet by and by. It's about this present age, this grace that's part of our identity that we have right now. Right now, God's grace gives us this ability to walk and to live this way. As we're waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of our glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as we wait for Jesus to come back, we walk in our identity, which is a saint filled with the powerful grace of Jesus Christ that's taking us to whole new places in God. It's exciting. So who are you? You're a saint filled with the powerful grace of Jesus Christ that gives you all you need to walk in victory over sin. But it keeps getting better. Point number three, the third thing about our identity that Paul wants to make sure the church understands is that you have new spiritual gifts. In fact, it says in verse 7 that you are not lacking in any gift. Did you hear that? You are not lacking in any gift. Some believe they lack, but they don't. Some in this room right now believe you lack. But you don't. God has given all of us in Christ Jesus. He didn't say in there, he didn't say, you know, some of you don't lack. Some of you lack a few of the gifts. Some of you never are going to be able to experience these gifts, but you're going to have these, and I'm reserving these for this part of the church. And no. He's writing to the church, and that's us. And he's saying, you are not lacking in any gift. When we realize this, again, it's about identity. We got to know our identity. When we realize this truth, when we receive this truth and this reality, and then when we utilize it, meaning we live it out, we actually put it into practice and make it who we are, when we do that, we're going to find ourselves living life at a whole nother level. We really are. These gifts are essential ingredients to living out our new identity in Christ. Now, we're going to get into a whole lot more detail about the gifts of the Spirit later on, because if you read ahead, which I encourage everyone to read ahead, in chapters 12 through 14, there's a whole lot of talk about the gifts of the Spirit in the church. And so we're going to get into a lot more detail. We're going to go a lot deeper in that and just have some really good discussion about what does God's Word say. And that's all we're going to do in this whole study. What does God's Word have to say? So we have new spiritual gifts. Exciting. Let's go back. We have a new title. What is that new title? We have a new grace. And does that matter today? Yes. We have new spiritual gifts. Does that excite you? I mean, think about it this way. Don't let the devil come at you right now with condemnation. Say, look, well, I'm not walking in all those, so I must be less sin. That's hogwash. When we study this and we get into the gifts of the Spirit, you're going to see that there are some given at some time and some given another time, and God has all kinds of ways of working these things out, okay? The devil wants to come in and just bring condemnation and confusion and all that and make people feel bad or less sin, and that's baloney. Don't even go there. Just look at it from the excitement of the fact that God's Word is telling you that you don't lack in any gift. And just get excited about that. Don't feel condemnation that, oh, I don't have this one, I'm not walking in this one. Don't go there. Just get excited about the fact that you don't lack in any gift. And think about your future. Think about a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and let your mind just get thrilled about the plans and the possibilities that God has, because His gifts are amazing. Okay, the fourth thing is you have new eternal life. That's the fourth truth about our identity if we're in Christ Jesus, that we have eternal life in Him. It says in verse 8 that Jesus will sustain you to the end. That's awesome news. This is the reality of who we are. We're redeemed. We're saved. We've been justified. That's the reality of who we are. Forever the Lord's. That we will be forever with Him. That truth should rock us to the core. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail, because when we realize that truth, that we have eternal life in Christ Jesus, and we will be forever with Him, that He has pulled us out of darkness into His marvelous light, that that's part of our identity, that is the truth of who we are, it should just transform us, rock us to the core, and it will impact our lives, and we will think differently, act differently, approach life differently, wake up every morning differently with a whole new outlook on life because of that reality. Please, remind yourselves of these things often, because the devil loves to rob us of the truth of the reality of who we are. He was doing it to the church in Corinth. The Apostle Paul said, no. I'm going to remind them who they are. They have eternal life. They've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. They are forever, forever His, and He will sustain them till the end. So let's live out of that reality. And then the fifth point that we find Paul making in this introduction to this letter to the church in Corinth regarding our identity is that you have new fellowship. You have new fellowship with Christ Jesus. Verse 9, you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What does that mean? Fellowship. You have fellowship with Jesus. It means that if you're in Christ Jesus, that you have relationship with the living God. Yes, we have a standing with Him, but we have fellowship with Him. We talk about having fellowship time here at church. What does that typically look like? Does that mean we all scatter and all jump in our cars and go home and just believe in our minds that we have fellowship with one another? Or does fellowshipping with one another involve being together and hanging out together and being in relationship with one another? Eating together, laughing together, praying together, doing life together. That's fellowship. And the Apostle Paul is reminding us that part of who we are now in Christ Jesus is that we have relationship, real relationship with the living God, with Jesus Christ. We have fellowship with Him. He just talked about point number 4, eternal life, our standing with Him. Point number 5, it goes even deeper, fellowship. Intimacy. That's where God desires it to go. I mean, deep fellowship and intimacy, a knowing one another. We're no longer enemies of God. That's our old identity. Our new identity is that we are His beloved, who have fellowship, who are welcomed into His presence. He wants to sit down with you. He wants to hear your heart. He wants to cry with you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to encourage you. He wants you to enjoy Him, and He enjoys you. That's part of our identity in Christ Jesus now. That's who we are, is that we are people who have fellowship with Jesus Christ. God is no longer far off. He is near. He is personal. Many miss out on a vibrant, meaningful, and victorious life today because they don't know who they are. They don't live out of this reality of their identity, of truly who they are. They find themselves either never leaving their old identity or falling back into their old identity or taking on a mistaken false identity that the world and that the enemy has been whispering into their ears and wanting them to believe. And so they experience an identity crisis. But we don't have to, because God's word shouts and sings and reminds us of who we are and whose we are and what that means. When we read God's word, and that's why it's so important to read the word of God and to be in it often, daily, is because it will remind you of who you are. So who are you? You're a saint. You are a saint. I plead with you to believe that today. If you're in Christ Jesus, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you can know him and you can have a whole new identity. But if you know Jesus Christ already, you are a saint right now, sitting there right now. I implore you to believe that, to wake up every day reminding yourself of that, and you will find yourself living a whole new reality. Who are you? You're a saint. And you are filled with the powerful grace of Jesus Christ. You are equipped with spiritual gifts while enjoying eternal life and the fellowship with the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. That's who you are. That's what God's word has declared over you today and every single day. That's good news. I love what the Apostle Paul says in that intro. I also love how the Apostle Peter backs it all up and how he words this reality. If you'd like to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Peter says it this way. He says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now check this out. Verse 10. "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Let me say it again the way Paul did. Once you were a sinner. Once you were an enemy of God. Once you were far from him. But that's not who you are anymore. You're his friend. You're a child of God. You're his beloved. And you're a saint. You have a new identity because Jesus gave it to you.